Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, June 6th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemiri.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Yeah, our top stories this evening.
Air Zimbabwe pilots express dismay over poor working conditions and non-payment of salaries for more than 3 years.
Even up to present day, we haven't got a proper working contract, each one of us, with the company. We're just on a working allowance.
Opposition MDCT comments the Anti-Corruption Commission for investigating some individuals and companies allegedly engaged in various shady deals.
We know that the tendency for the ZANU-PF regime is just to pay lip service to corruption. So we want them to not only walk the talk, but to talk the walk.
Protesters at Africa Unity Square vow to continue with their action despite being intimidated by suspected state security agents.
We were ambushed by around 15 men. We just didn't see where they came from. And everything happened very quickly. They wanted our phones, telling us what we were still doing in the square, and that they told us to protect the square.
And Zimbabweans celebrate the Warriors' qualification for 2017 Africa Cup of Nations finals as the world mourns the death of boxing legend Muhammad Ali.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Yes, Zimbabwe pilots who have not received their pay since 2013 have told the parliament that their conditions of service are so bad that some of their colleagues have left the state-controlled company for greener pastures. They said the situation has been worsened by the fact that the national airline does not have a substantive management team and board members with knowledge of the aviation industry. Reporter Ivan Chifera has the details from Harare.
Presenting their grievances on condition of work and ideas of turning around the national airline, chairman of the pilots working under the Zimbabwe Flight Crew Association said there are now only 35 pilots out of 60 in 2009 due to bad working conditions. Zimbabwe Flight Crew Association chairman Captain Otis Shonai said the pilots that have left Air Zimbabwe sought greener pastures outside the country.
Even up to present day, we haven't got a proper working contract, each one of us, with the company. We're just on a working allowance. That's what we're getting right now. But we have been professional enough, and we'll continue to be professional, to say that if we decide to go and fly, we'll do our very best and bring people home safely or take them safely to their destination.
He said pilots were expecting housing and vehicle loans like doctors, adding they also need farming land. Captain Shonai said most of their grievances had not been addressed because the company has not had a substantive management team. Association Secretary First Officer Gutuka Chamba concurred, noting that they believed most of the airline's problems were a result of bureaucracy between the board and the ministry and lack of people with aviation expertise in the board.
If you look at Air Zimbabwe right now, is that there's no substantive management. For 3 years, everybody is acting. For how long can people be acting? 3 years, and we are sitting and doing and nothing has been done. You are giving people responsibility and you're not giving them authority. So how are they going to run the airline? So that, Mr. Chairman, we think your committee must intervene. As a matter of urgency, we need the governance structure at Air Zimbabwe looked at, and we need competent boards.
The pilots who attended the parliamentary hearing said Air Zimbabwe had the potential to operate efficiently and drive the country's economy if the right decisions are made on time. For example, Kachamba said paying Zimbabwe's outstanding International Air Transport Association fees would improve the company's fortunes.
Let's get into the IATA clearinghouse, because IATA clearinghouse unlocks business value for us. It is what it does, it enables us to court share, to interline. So we're saying as a matter of ages, we know there's some amount which is owing to IATA. But I think the nation, as a nation, I don't believe that we can get 1.2 million to pay to IATA.
The two suggested that pilots get a seat on the Air Zimbabwe board and that the board itself be composed of people with knowledge of the aviation industry. They also suggested the acquisition of new planes, saying the company's fleet was too old and costly to operate. The pilots added that reviving the London route would also raise money for the national airline. Air Zimbabwe flies to Johannesburg, Tanzania, Bulawayo and Victoria Falls, and the pilots said opening up more routes would create business for the airline. Transport Minister Joram Gumbo and Acting Air Zimbabwe Chief Executive Edmund Makona could not be reached for comment. Transport Committee Chairperson Dexter Nduna said Parliament was concerned with the plight of pilots and Air Zimbabwe in general and would engage government with a view to resolving its problems. The company is saddled with a debt amounting to more than $300 million, making it unattractive for any merger with international partners. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
The Movement for Democratic Change formation of Morgan Tsvangirai says it welcomes the recent announcement by the Zimbabwe Anti-Corruption Commission that it is investigating several companies and individuals suspected of engaging in corrupt activities. In a statement, the MDCT said corruption in the country has become so deeply entrenched to the extent that it is, quote, permeating through all facets of our lives, end quote. But the MDCT said they are surprised that the anti-corruption body did not mention the 15 diamond proceeds of up to $15 billion.
Yesterday, the Sunday Mail published names of companies and individuals said to be under investigations, and these include Wikne Ochivayo's Intratrek, Philip Chiangwa's Pinnacle Holdings, and Paddy Janda's Veracity Private Limited. MDCT spokesperson Obet Gutu tells Studio 7 they hope that this time the underground body will walk the talk, since previous cases of corruption have gone unpunished.
The announced anti-corruption blitz should actually be not only genuine, but it should be all-embracing. There should be no sacred cows. We know the history of this country has been such that there are some people who are almost untouchable. People who, even if there are serious allegations of corruption that have been leveled against them, there is nothing that happens to them. You remember a few years ago, Jonga, during the days or the years of the inclusive government, there were serious allegations of corruption that were leveled against the then Minister of Mines, Dr. Obet Mpofu, and the then Minister of Indigenization, Honorable Xavier Kasukwere. And when members of the Zimbabwe Anti-Corruption Commission tried to collect some documents from the offices of these two very senior politicians in ZANU-PF, they were actually prevented physically by armed men, soldiers and policemen. So we know that the tendency for the ZANU-PF regime is just to pay lip service to corruption. So we want them to not only walk the talk, but to talk the walk.
That was MDCT spokesperson Obet Gutu speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Studio 7 failed to reach some of the mentioned company directors or the Anti-Corruption Commission acting spokesperson, Senior Assistant Commissioner Silence Pondo, who was said to be in a meeting. We reached Harare Mayor Bernard Manyanyani, who is also under investigation for appointing Town Clerk James Mushore.
They may be wanting to investigate the issue of the appointment of the town clerk, which, since independence, in my view, is the best form of recruitment for anyone to head a public entity. This is a model that they must all copy and emulate and use to appoint whoever they wish to appoint at all quasi-government bodies. We are happy with the route we took. It's a path we would want to retrace and do it exactly the way we did it. The aspect about listing beer halls, council does not list beer halls. They are listed by a completely different entity. No new leases have been issued as far as I'm concerned, and none of them have got, if anywhere issued, none of them have got anything to do with any of my cronies, as is alleged in the newspaper report. So I'm very clear there.
Have they paid you a visit yet?
Well, they are with me now as we speak, and we've had a fruitful 3 hours. We've exchanged notes. I've given them all the information that they require. They need a little bit more information, which we should provide in the next day or two.
That was Harare Mayor Bernard Manyanyani speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Meanwhile, the Acting Minister of Local Government, Professor Jonathan Moyo, has reinstated Manyanyani, who was suspended for appointing Mushore.
Young people out there, are you concerned about the many issues that affect you and Zimbabweans in general? Rise to the occasion. Make an impact. Let your voice be heard, and let's get talking on The Connection.
We cover a range of issues that affect young people.
I am Tatenda Gumbo.
And I'm Tungamili Nkomo.
And we are the hosts for your number one youth forum, The Connection. Join us tomorrow when we will be discussing the 2016 Mandela Washington Fellowship, which will see nearly 60 young Zimbabweans coming to the United States next week.
To get involved, send us a message with the hashtag TheConnection on WhatsApp. The number is 001-202-465-0318.
Activists from Zimbabwe Women in Politics Alliance, Zimbabwe Activist Alliance, Occupy Africa Unity Square Movement, and members of the public have vowed to continue occupying Africa Unity Square for 16 days and 16 nights as a way of highlighting the plight of ordinary Zimbabweans, despite harassment by suspected state security agents over the weekend. Linda Masarira of Zimbabwe Women in Politics says most of the protesters lost their mobile telephones and were assaulted early Saturday morning, but this is not deterring them from camping at Africa Unity Square.
We spent the whole day polishing up on the petition that we were drafting to present to the Parliament of Zimbabwe. And by tomorrow morning, we'll be having the final draft, and we'll be calling upon all Zimbabweans who are interested to sign it to pass through Africa Unity Square, have a read of the petition, and put their signatures. And as well, we're going to upload the petition on social media so that those who want can sign it online as well, and then we'll bring the signatures. That is what we're working on today, and the flyers to distribute around to raise awareness to other Zimbabweans who are not aware of the occupation program, because it really hasn't been publicized that much in Zimbabwean media.
We understand that there was an incident that happened into Saturday morning over the weekend. Tell us what happened.
In the early hours of Saturday morning, around 1:30 a.m., we were ambushed by around 15 men in an organized way, because we just didn't see where they came from. And everything happened very quickly. They wanted our phones, telling us what we're still doing in the square, and that they told us to forget the square. They wanted our phones, and they physically assaulted myself. I now have a broken hand. This is due to be seen by a specialist. I was slapped, and I had my other phone stolen. So they took it. I don't know which correct word to use. And we lost about 8 phones from other occupiers. And James Chema, one of the occupiers, was beaten up and kicked in the face and all. He's got a terrible eye injury.
That was Linda Masarira of the Zimbabwe Women in Politics Alliance in Harare.
The Mandela Washington Fellows are making final preparations for their trip to the U.S. next week to take up business and leadership studies under the esteemed fellowship. Kudakwashe Mzembe, a solar energy expert and co-founder of Advanced Power Technologies, is one of them. Mzembe will be stationed in New Jersey for the six-week program. He talks to reporter Ntungamili Nkomo.
It's a very exciting opportunity. It presents the opportunity for me to meet other African fellows, young people that are doing amazing things all across the continent. It also gives me the opportunity to see best practices in America and get exposure to things that are happening out there. So I'm really, really excited about that. And it's going to be a great opportunity for me to learn and also to give of some of the things that I know. So I'm really excited about that.
Tell us more about your job.
So my job involves, in fact, we co-founded this company in back at the end of 2012. And our job is really, we are energy. I'm an energy enthusiast. My background is not technical at all. I'm a marketer by profession. But the one thing that I saw was that I saw a need in my country, and the need was for power. because there's a great deficit in terms of our power consumption, our power production and our power consumption in Zimbabwe. And so we thought of an opportunity, we thought of exploiting that opportunity and of ways that we can provide a sustainable solution to the people in my country. So the first thing we did, we started doing just backup power, inverter installations. We're doing an inverter and a battery. And we saw that several people were really interested in that because not everyone wants to get a noisy generator. And so then from there, we then thought, how can we help people actually generate their own power, because solar gives you the opportunity to do that. That's when we then got full on into solar installations, and we started doing household installations. Then we also then started to see that there's a need even in the corporate sector, and so we got into that.
And how do you think this fellowship will be of assistance to you?
Well, one of the biggest things that I believe is that you can only go as far as your exposure. I've seen a lot of stuff online. I read quite a lot. I research quite a lot. But the one that I'm really looking forward to is being able to be in a place where they are applying and implementing these same things that we're doing, the same technology that we're doing here, but in a different way. So I'd love to see how they're doing that. I want to learn.
Mandela Washington Fellow and Advanced Power Technologies co-founder Kudakwashe Mzembe on the line from Harare with reporter Ntungabile Nkomo.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
NGOs and government produce a manual on HIV/AIDS management.
And what happens next for Zimbabwe Warriors after beating Malawi in the AFCON qualifiers?
Stay tuned.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
A former U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is nearing the Democratic presidential nomination, but she faces one last contentious political fight in California, the country's most popular state, against the sole challenger, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders.
The body of boxing great Muhammad Ali is back in his hometown of Louisville, Kentucky, following his death Friday of septic shock at age 74. After a long battle with complications of Parkinson's disease, a progressive disorder of the nervous system. Following a small private funeral service Thursday, a public memorial service at the local sports arena is planned. Ali's professional boxing career stretched from 1960 to 1981, and he retired with a record of 56 wins and 5 losses. Zimbabweans are also remembering Ali, who inspired a lot of boxers. We'll give you more details later.
And Egyptian prosecutors have ordered the head of the country's journalists union and two other senior union officials to stand trial for allegedly spreading false news and harboring fugitive colleagues.
The Zimbabwe National Network of People Living with HIV, in conjunction with the Ministry of Health and Child Welfare, the National AIDS Council, and People Living Positively with HIV/AIDS, has launched a booklet designed to create awareness on taking antiretroviral drugs and the management of HIV/AIDS. Our correspondent Patricia Mudadigwa reports.
The literacy manual, among many issues, highlights methods of taking antiretroviral drugs, dangers of abandoning them, and the general management of HIV and AIDS. Some people living with HIV and AIDS told Studio 7 they expect to get simple guidelines from the manual on managing their health conditions. One of the people living with HIV, Angela Chuetano of Widows Foundation of Life, said she hopes to get a lot of information on taking ARVs.
The launch of this manual is very critical because it also then helps our clients or other people living with HIV like me to make sure that we We work very closely with our nurses, our doctors, in respect of issues around side effects, because a lot of other people are just taking medication, but they cannot even tell the issues around side effects because they're not even aware, because they don't have, or they have very limited information about medication, the ARVs themselves. So it is very critical that people have a knowledge and know-how of taking medication.
Stanley Takawona, who is also living positively with HIV and heads the Zimbabwe HIV and AIDS Activist Union Community Trust, say there are some people that were fast-tracked into taking ARVs. Takawana said the manual will therefore come in handy for such people.
Especially health workers. We've seen some of them, they don't go through the process of adherence counseling. And also most of the high-level people, they don't go through the fast-track system to get into medication.
Dr. Titi Mtasa, Paul of the Ministry of Health and Child Care, said they collaborated with the Zimbabwe National Network of People Living with HIV to come out with the manual in order to create HIV and AIDS awareness and proper ways of taking ARVs.
This manual will help increase the knowledge around adherence, psychosocial support, issues around the types of medicines that are available in the country, the types of adverse events, the side effects that are related to medicines. Because sometimes we find that people are not aware of these side effects. And when they begin to experience those side effects, they don't even know where to go to. So we need to be able to empower the people so that they are aware of these things and what to do when they experience those side effects. But there are also issues to do with nutrition, issues to do with positive living and adopting healthy lifestyles within that manual. So we see it as a very useful tool to really empower communities of people living with HIV to be able to manage themselves, to manage their own condition.
Writers of the manual acknowledge the ever-changing nature of HIV and AIDS management information and have recommended that the booklet should be updated at least every 2 years to keep up with the international guidelines on tackling HIV and AIDS. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mudadigwa.
In our sports segment, the Zimbabwe's Warriors are celebrating after qualifying for the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations finals following 10 years in the wilderness. Reporter Michael Kariati gives us the story.
Although the Warriors still have a game to play against the Sili National of Guinea, the Zimbabweans have already qualified for the finals in Gabon after their 3-0 destruction of Malawi. They have an assailable lead of 11 points. Although Swaziland can reach 11 points should they overcome Malawi in their last match, the Sehlangu has an inferior 1-0 head-to-head record against Zimbabwe, which gives the Warriors the ticket to the finals with a game to score. Czech Republic-based Kostas Namuinesu, who plays for Sparta Prague, says he cannot describe how happy he is for achieving.
I'm on top of the mountain or in sky 7 or I don't know what you can say. I'm happy to win at home. We collected maximum points. This is the most important thing for me.
Coach Kalisto Pasua joined Sunday Chidzamba in 2004 and Charles Mshawuri in 2006 as the only coaches in Zimbabwean football history to take the Warriors to the Continental Football Finals. Pasua is a very happy man.
One thing which I have been crying for in my life.
Captain Willard Katsande too has joined the legendary Peter Ndlovu as the second captain to take the Warriors to the promised land and says he feels great. Cuthbert Malajila, who scored the final goal, says he is happy to have been part of the team at the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations finals. Would obviously be his first and last.
This is my last chance to go to AFCON. I'm 31 now, I'm going for 31. I'll be 31 in January, which is good for me and the boys also. Most of us, it's our first time. So it will be our advantage also. Maybe it's my last chance also to play for Zimbabwe.
In the two occasions in which the Warriors were at the finals, the Zimbabweans were eliminated in the group stages. And Pasua says there is need for thorough preparations ahead of the finals in January. But the president of the newly created National Football Association of Zimbabwe, Philip Chiangwa, says they would only draw up their program of action after the qualifying campaign is over. The National Football Association of Zimbabwe was formed over the weekend after the ZIFA Assembly decided to dissolve the Zimbabwe Football Association, settled with a $6 million debt. Ironically, the same leadership that was at ZIFA remains in power with Chiangwa as the president and Omega Sibanda as his vice. However, one of the ZIFA creditors, Nobe Chawira, laughed off this development, saying ZIFA is trying to run away from paying its debt from the proceeds of the Malawi game. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
At the same time, Zimbabweans are mourning the death of boxing legend Muhammad Ali, who passed away a few days ago after succumbing to Parkinson's disease. Former boxer and current chairperson of the Bulawayo Boxing Association, Ezwell Ndlovu, tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube that Muhammad Ali inspired a lot of boxers in Zimbabwe.
It's a great loss to boxing fraternity at large.
And looking at yourself as a former boxer, did Muhammad Ali inspire you in any way?
Very, very big. He inspired us a lot because the way he was fighting and the way he was doing all his things, the way he was being managed, he encouraged us a lot. When I went to the Commonwealth Games, by then, Muhammad had already retired long back. But he is one of the boxers who encouraged us to go up to that level. He took off in that Ndaba Dube, a bantamweight champion, Zimbabwe boxer, bantamweight champion. He took off Ambrose, big weight champion, and Goma Chiko, the lightweight champion, and even Kilimanjaro.
That was Ezwell Ndlovu, chairperson of the Bulawayo Boxing Association, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Bulawayo.
Meanwhile, World Boxing Council silver belt holder Charles Manucci says he has great respect for the late Muhammad Ali.
It's a sad story for us as boxers, a sad story to everyone that we have missed him, but we really appreciate his efforts. Even the role that he played during his time with Muhammad Ali was the greatest at all time, and he achieved more than anyone else in the boxing fraternity.
What role did the late Muhammad Ali play in your life specifically? How did you join boxing?
Yeah, me, I joined boxing because my father was a boxer, and my father used to like Muhammad Ali. And the role that Muhammad Ali played, I think there's no enough weight played that role. Muhammad Ali was the greatest boxer ever, and the WBC icon. He was a pillar of WBC.
Also, you are called Manucci, which in fact means B. Does this have anything to do with the famous saying by Muhammad Ali, "Float like a butterfly and sting like a bee"?
Yeah, Muhammad Ali used to say, "I sting like a bee and fly like a butterfly." My name is Charles Manucci. Manucci means a bee. That's why people, they call me the busy bee.
That was Charles Manucci, the Busy Bee, World Boxing Council silverweight belt holder, speaking with Studio 7.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our hosts Blessing Zulu and Gibbs Dube will be talking with listeners about the Zimbabwe Warriors' demolition of Malawi and qualification for the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations finals.
If you wish to join the show, call us at 001-202-619-2077. The number again, 001-202-619-2077.
We are going for gold.
And the music of various artists going out to you from Studio 7 here, the Voice of America. Now to recap today's top stories.
Air Zimbabwe pilots express dismay over poor working conditions and non-payment of salaries for more than 3 years.
Opposition MDCT commends the Anti-Corruption Commission for investigating some individuals and companies allegedly engaged in various shady deals.
Protesters at Africa Unity Square vow to continue with their action despite being intimidated by suspected state security agents.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemire.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.